Now, here's your host, Mitch Henk, on News Talk 1310 WIBA.
All right, folks, we are back and talking about elections. Getting all excited. I mean, hey, the stuff that really matters is the stuff that affects your property taxes. Because if you don't own a home, you have to pay rent. So your landlord raises your rent, pay the property taxes. Property taxes are high, even if they haven't been going up as much, or if some people's bill actually goes down. Some people would argue that the bill is already too high, and it's been high for a long time. Because we decide we want to pay for schools with property taxes, mostly. The biggest chunk of your property tax bill goes for schools, and we base it on property wealth. For whatever reason. I never have figured that one out. But, and so what we do is we have these problems all the time. We have overcrowding, so we want to build a new school. And Madison now, again, is going to go to the voters. In November, they want to build a new elementary school on the fast-growing southwest side over there, south of PD. You know, the kids are there. That's where we're going to get a school there. That's the plan. Then, Leopold, which is already crowded over in Fitchburg, we want to add on to that. And then we have this other thing we want to refinance. We want to... This is complicated, but I guess to spend more money, you got to refinance existing debt and move it out of the operating budget debt and move it out of there so you can extend the revenue caps, which is very complicated. Drives me nuts. So in essence, you want to spend $25 million, you're going to borrow $37 million or something like that. And I'll have my experts correct me when I'm making a mistake, which tells me it's like playing craps and you want to bet the no-pass line in the casino. You bet more money if you bet on the house. Anyway. But Johnny Winston Jr. of the school board joins me. Good morning, Johnny.
Good morning.
Did I do okay here when I was trying to set all that stuff up, Johnny?
Yeah, okay. I think you did. I thought it was fine. I know you've been talking about this for the last few days here, and just really appreciate.
Well, I've been teasing it actually. But go ahead, yeah.
Yeah. Well, I just appreciate you educating the listeners about the challenges of the district, and right now our challenges. I mean, obviously we have some fiscal challenges, but. Right now, we're also challenged with growth, and we're trying to keep pace, and it's difficult.
Well, we were talking about the crowding over at Leopold there for a long time, and that was one of the deals in the last referendum, right? We had three questions,
right?
And that didn't make it, right?
It did not, unfortunately.
Well, you know, and I remember covering overcrowding issues over the years when I've had it in different areas where I've lived, and they've had to build little trailers, or they've had the kids in the music rooms and stuff, you know, and people go nuts. How bad is the overcrowding at Leopold, first of all?
Well, at Leopold, the overcrowding is, you know, this has been going on for many years, and you know, over 6 years that we've had to deal with the overcrowding there. And what we're trying to do is a short-term solution relative to building a new cafeteria so kids don't have to eat lunch at 10:30 in the morning. And at the same time, reconfigure the school and the interior of the school so it can take a few more students. But we also know that that area is growing as well, and eventually you're going to have to build a new school in that area of the school district, the southern portion of the school district. But on the far, the immediate need is on the far west side of town, where we, in essence, this is why we're going to referendum also to build a new school in that
on
area.
On the southwest side.
Yeah, and this is on the far west side for a new school.
Where that, is that south of PD?
No, actually, this is County Highway M, Hawks Landing type area.
I call that southwest, but sorry. Okay. Far west is fine. Far west is good.
All right.
Now, on the refinancing stuff, Johnny, there's another question, right?
Right.
There's some operating debt, and we want to move it out of the operating budget so we can go beyond the revenue caps. Try to explain that in English, could you, Johnny?
I'll try. You know, just as people are taking advantage of the lower interest rates and refinancing their home, the school district is trying to do the same thing. And we have some existing debt from additions that we put on to Leopold Elementary School, Hawthorne, also some land purchases that have been done, and those are in our operating budget right now. What we're trying to do is refinancing that at a lower interest rate, and hopefully we're able to use that money in our operating costs more toward programming. So that's what we're trying to do.
Well, now, again, it sounds to me like the operating budget, the day-to-day expenses, I mean, shouldn't that just be budgeted up front? I mean... If you got to go back and refinance for that, usually when you think of borrowing, don't you think of it in terms of building something or capital costs?
Absolutely, and that's why I look at this referendum as a capital type referendum. I mean, we, you know, unfortunately, the revenue caps are not forgiving, And, you know, in order to purchase land and build additions or build new schools, some of that money sometimes comes out of the operating costs. So in essence, you're having competing interests against each other, the capital needs of the district as well as the operating needs,
you know,
of the district.
Why can't you just keep them separate and just borrow for the capital stuff?
We got to get that state legislator to agree to something like that. And, you know, hopefully in the future they will think of these kinds of things. But
they don't let you borrow money to build something now as a capital?
You gotta ask the taxpayers to use their money. And I understand that, and those are the rules, but I'm hoping that people understand the situation that the district is in related to growth. And,
Johnny, on that last point, I know you have to raise, or you have the taxpayers to give you permission to build something, but to me that's like the county board deciding they're going to build a garage at the airport. I mean, sure, you're going to have to get taxpayers' permission, but it seems to me that you're borrowing for that, and you're not taking money out of the county operating budget to build an airport garage.
Those are the rules. That's all I can, you know.
The rules you got to get permission of the voters, or the rules you can take your operating money and use it for a capital investment?
Well, I mean, in an ideal world, particularly with school finances, you would be able to have a capital budget for
capital things.
For capital expenditures, but we don't. And so this is why we, in essence, have to go to referendum to ask for those things. And, you know, this district is experiencing growth, and it's going to continue to grow. We know on the far west side that 13,000 new homes are going to be built there.
Right, and so, I understand that, but I guess I thought you always had a capital budget and then you had an operating budget.
We do not, no. Not schools.
That seems kind of weird, doesn't it?
Yeah. Well,
anyway,
that's why everybody's going to referendum.
So Don Severson is here, too, and I just talked to Johnny. We're going to go 10 minutes with one and 10 minutes with the other. We might as well have both of you for the balance of the half hour. Good morning, Don. A watchdog, right, Don? I mean, is that how you would be described? A critic at times of the school board? Move that mic around, if you would, in front of you there. There, go ahead.
We've been called that and other names as well.
You're on the watch,
yes.
Is what you are.
Yes.
Now, you've heard Johnny explaining about the population growth over in the Southwest side, Leopold, which has been had overcrowding issues. And your response first on those two things.
Well, I think there's a serious question to be raised about the enrollment projections and the build-out, particularly on the west side. And that is that the numbers that have been used by the district have been total aggregated numbers over 20 years. And if you really look at what's happening and has been happening over the last two or three years with construction permits and the build out, is that this has been in an accelerated decline over the last couple of years. And in fact, the housing starts for September of 2006 were less than half of what the starts were in September.
So is it your position, Don, that we don't need a new school on the far west side?
The question is, do we?
Well, yeah.
And do we need it now?
Well, do we, and do we need it now?
Well,
go ahead, Don.
I'd like to hear the answer to that question.
Do we, and do we need it now, Don?
Well, the district has itself stated that occupying a new building in 2008, it'll be half empty.
What about 2011?
With all due respect to what Mr. Severson is saying, if you look in the past at Chavez Elementary School, Chavez was told when it was going to be built that it was going to be at 55% capacity. It is now over capacity. So the district hit it right on the head. It's the same thing that's going to happen on the far west side. 13,000 new homes are going to be built, and those students are going to need a school, and the schools that are close by them are going to be overcrowded.
Johnny, that sounds 13,000 new homes. Do you agree with that figure, Don? You don't think that's going to happen, or what? 13,000 new homes are going to be built on the far west side.
It might happen in 20 years. It isn't going to happen at any accelerated rate at this point in time.
It might happen.
But right now, the schools that are close by out there are filled to capacity.
The
data is very clear.
We disagree on just the basic facts. That's what drives everybody nuts. I mean, you're either overcrowded or you're not. You either need a new school because of population growth or you don't. So, I mean, what is the deal?
Well, the elementary schools on the west side, there's 12 of them, are essentially at capacity. However, the enrollment this year compared to a year ago, there's five elementary schools that have less students from a year ago and seven have more. It's pretty basically a wash, about 100
right.
students difference. And the enrollment in the Madison schools has been flat for 12 years. It hasn't changed more than 150 or 200
overall,
one way or the other.
Overall, but
overall.
Certain pockets.
Yeah.
Go ahead, Johnny.
One of the things that I would say to Mr. Stevenson, in terms of long-range planning, should we wait until a school is overcrowded and we have students, in essence, like a Leopold school situation where we have classrooms that are out in the hallway? We also have students eating lunch at 10:30 a.m. Should we continue that trend, or should we get before the trend?
Or plan ahead, right, Johnny?
Yeah,
well, Don will come back with an answer, and then we got to take a quick break. This is Outside the Box.
The journey from ignorance to understanding
is only as far as the distance from your fingers to your AM dial.
What now?
News Talk 1310, WIBA.
Weir Minerals in Madison needs experienced, full-time CNC machinists right now on second and third shifts. You can earn up to $18 an hour with great benefits. Plus, get a $3,000 sign-on bonus. So if you're an experienced CNC machinist, you can work right here in Madison and save gas money. Earn up to $18 an hour with great benefits, plus a $3,000 sign-on bonus. For more details, call Rachel at Weir Minerals today. 221-2261. 221-2261.
Hear that? It's not a sound you want to hear this winter. But with last April's hailstorm, many roofs in the area have damage and many owners don't even know it. Don't take a chance with your home or business roof. Call the experts at Mad City Roofing, insurance restoration specialists since 1998. Honest, professional, local. They replace siding too. Call 223-1500 for a quote today. Mad City Roofing, 223-1500.
I've been to Pittsburgh, Parkersburg, Colorado, Ellensburg, Rexburg, Vicksburg, Eldorado, Larimore, Atmore, Havistaw, Chattanooga, Chaska, Nebraska, Alaska, Opelika, Baraboo, Waterloo, Kalamazoo, Kansas City, Sioux City, Cedar City, Dodge City, what a pity. I've been everywhere, man. I've been everywhere, man. Across the desert, bare man. I breathe the mountain air, man. I've traveled, I've had my share, man. I've been everywhere.
DineMadison.com, a $50 gift certificate for just $25 every Thursday starting at 7 a.m. This Thursday, get a $50 gift certificate to Pedro's Mexican Restaurante, but only pay $25 with DineMadison.com. On Wednesdays, it's all-you-can-eat chicken or steak fajitas with Pedro's homemade tortillas. Sundays, it's family fun day at Pedro's, a 3-pound burrito and fried ice cream for $9.95. Kids eat for $1.99 off the kids' menu. Pedro's happy hour is 3 to 7 daily with free hors d'oeuvres and 2-for-1 rails. Or Pedro's late-night happy hour every night 9 to close for half-price appetizers. Get a $50 gift certificate, but only pay $25 at DineMadison.com.
Hey, we're the Sloan Brothers from StartupNation.com. With the new Discover business card, Discover introduces the financial tools business owners need.
It gives you more control over the day-to-day expenses of running a business. The new card comes with the best rewards program in the industry, flexible payment options, and personalized customer service.
So where do you sign up? At discoverbiz.com/tools, or just call 1-888-DISCOVER. The Discover business card. It works.
Whether it's a double scoop of chocolate ice cream or a second hug from your little niece, two really is better than one. That's why Econolodge and Rodeway Inn Hotels are offering double stamps this fall with the Easy Choice Rewards program. That means free nights in half the time. So take a trip, or two. Call 800-4-CHOICE or visit choicehotels.com for the best internet rate guaranteed. We'll see you there.
Earn two stamps per night for qualifying stays between 9-1 and 11:30-06. Maximum 10 stamps per stay. For details, visit choicehotels.com.
Man is ordered to stand trial for allegedly killing his estranged wife in Madison 30 years ago. I'm John Colbert. That story and more at 10 o'clock.
Get live in-depth team coverage of today's top local stories every half hour. Now more Outside the Box with Mitch Hank on News Talk 1310 WIBA.
All right, folks, this is fun, isn't it? These election fights and all the school stuff, it's just because it involves parents and taxpayers and the empty nesters. I love the empty nesters. They can be grumpy, you know. Why am I paying all this money? Anyway, Johnny Winston Jr., our guest, who's not only a school board president, but also an astute basketball official. We've seen him out there in action. Are you looking forward to doing that again, Johnny?
Yeah, absolutely. I am.
Okay. And Don Severson is here to kind of keep an eye on what's going on and has traditionally opposed certain referenda questions. In terms of, and here's what drives people nuts. Either we need a new school or we don't. And so, Johnny, you're saying that 13,000 new homes are going to be built, right, on the far west side?
Yes.
Was that over 20 years? Or?
That's over 20 years. But right now, when as I'm sitting here talking with you right now, we have a school, Chavez Elementary School, that's over capacity. We have another school, Hegel, which is at capacity. No. There's John Muir, that's at capacity. We know that the west side is growing.
So we're already filled up.
We're getting filled, and the fact of the matter is we can make short-term boundary changes, but it will not solve the long-term challenges, which is a need for a new elementary school on the west side.
Okay, so when's that going to be finished, that new elementary school?
I believe by the 2009-2010 school year.
So what do you think is going to be the enrollment when it opens up?
The enrollment, it will start at about 55% capacity, but as the community builds out, obviously more students will come into that school. But, you know, when you look at schools, you know, it's not going to be a half-empty shell or something like that. I mean, there will be things going on in classrooms and in programming that will happen. But, you know, again, this is a long-range solution to the overcrowding.
Don, do you not agree with those projections on the population growth?
No, we don't.
Okay. And why not?
Well, when you look at the figures that are provided by the city and the county and realtors, the permits for new housing are down 50% from a year ago, and they've been down over 200 every year since 1999. And so that build out of 13,000 homes is at this point in time a lot of.
So in your view, could we go as we are with the existing? As Johnny, you heard him say that the other schools, the 12 elementary schools, certainly in the west side, are already kind of filled up. So let's say in 5 years, 10 years, can we continue to send children to the existing elementary schools?
We may not be able to, if over the long range build out occurs, but it isn't going to occur at the accelerated rate that they have projected.
So the question is, if we have to in 10 years or 8 years, then why don't we just do it now?
Well, you have to look at the costs.
And if the cost goes up, as construction costs do, then why wouldn't you do it now as opposed to later on? Being a good fiscal conservative and a good fiscal steward of the taxpayers' money, I want to make sure that they get the best bang for their buck. And this is doing it now as opposed to maybe later on is going to be the best situation for the taxpayers.
Are you a fiscal conservative now, Johnny?
Well, my underwear are tight, so yeah.
It sounds to me like they're in a knot.
Yeah. They can be a little bit.
Go ahead, Johnny.
Because Mr. Severson comes to the meetings and he sees the data. And I understand. Mr. Severson, what is it that you would do to solve the overcrowding in the Madison Metropolitan School District right now? What would you do?
Right now? I would make some boundary changes. I would extend the transportation time. I would probably create some increased class size under certain circumstances. I would change some of the policy with.
Okay, now hold on a minute. Now I don't. And the district has done those things. They have done those things.
Well,
First of all, the boundary, guys.
As a matter of fact, I believe that the district, in terms of Leopold Elementary School, in terms of outposting, they have changed the boundaries.
So you change the boundaries because you might have more room in one school. And
absolutely.
Okay, so you shuffle them around. Okay.
There's a whole lot of things that can be done. The problem is, again, if that is a short-term solution to a long-range problem.
I understand what you're saying. People know that. And well, let's go to the phones because we got people waiting. Randy, hi. You're on with Johnny Winston Jr. and Don Severson. Good morning, Randy.
Good morning, gentlemen. I have a solution for the school board to solve this problem. Instead of firing teachers when you are out of money, why don't you fire some of those 75K plus administrators, save that 75K plus salary for 10 years, and buy a school?
Okay, Johnny, go ahead.
I wish it was just that simple, but it's not. And, you know, I think every single year.
Why is it not simple to fire administrators, but you fire teachers?
Well, again, I don't think we fired teachers at all. And I think the fact of the matter is when we look at the budget in its entirety, we do look at, I know I do, we look at how our teachers, can they be absorbed in the system in other ways? So that's one thing that we've done. But, I mean, in terms of, I mean, we're talking about a capital expenditure of $17.7 million for an elementary school and higher if it's a middle or a high school. That's not going to solve the problem.
Yeah, it wouldn't get you enough money. You could get rid of all the administrators.
You have to have $10 million.
You do understand that you're going to slow the growth of schools by increasing property taxes, don't you?
I guess I look at it more toward in terms of making a capital investment in the school district, and we need to have schools and places that there's going to be students for a long period of time.
The issue is that you're spending money you don't have. You're already cutting $6 to $8 million a year.
We can cut every administrator. I know what you're saying, Randy, because I've been a little critical myself. But you can cut every single one of them out of Dayton Street, and you wouldn't have enough money to do the $17.7 million.
Yeah, but the schools would be a lot more efficient without that overhead.
All right, thanks for the call, Randy.
Thank you.
We do tend to lose more janitors and teachers than we do central office administrators in terms of percentages. I guess that's what he was trying to get at, Johnny. And
I'm not an administrator. I'm just the elected official. I've got to look at how the district gets run. And so every single year, I'll look at everything that we have in terms of this district and try to provide the best possible education, but also the best managed system that we possibly can too, and you need some of everybody to work together.
Okay, well, I understand, and I know the dollars, if you look at it, it's not going to get you enough, but I think it's just one of those things that people feel like it's weighted against the teachers and janitors. We'll come back. Guys, can you stay on with us a little bit more here?
Absolutely.
Sure.
Because I'm just starting to have fun, and when I can pay attention, then we're halfway home. This is Outside the Box.
Hungry for information? Then belly up to the all-you-can-eat smorgasbord. News Talk 1310, WIBA.
Our basement walls were bowing in, and we were real worried. We didn't know if we'd have to pay a fortune for a complete overhaul of our basement.
We decided to go with Badger Basement Systems because they were honest, dependable, and experienced.
They communicated with us throughout the entire process. That made all the difference.
Yeah, that's probably why their business has succeeded for 30 years. We feel comfortable with our decision and now have gotten rid of the curbs.
Good thing you still kept yours, honey.
Oh, you. Call Badger Basement Systems at 1-800-262-1880 today for a free estimate by an experienced basement professional. That's 1-800-262-1880.
Here, you and your heating system are going to be best friends until you get the bill. You won't faint when you get your heating bill after Harker installs an efficient Carrier heating and cooling system. In fact, you could take a nice vacation with the $1,400 in rebates you'll get right now from Carrier and get 6 months same as cash financing. Carrier, turn to the experts. Call Harker Heating today for a free in-home estimate. Harker Heating and Cooling, serving Dane County for over 55 years. Call 255-6902 today.
Harker.
It's here at Ford and Lincoln Mercury Dealerships, the Right Now Factory Authorized Service Event with special offers on tires, brakes, batteries, and more. Buy four Michelin or BF Goodrich tires and get the Works Fuel Saver Package on us. That's a Motorcraft synthetic blend oil change, tire rotation, and more. Genuine parts and service at Ford and Lincoln Mercury Dealerships. Hurry, it all ends soon. Call 1-877-310-3673 or see participating dealer for details through 11:30:06.
Okay, guys, we got Johnny Winston Jr., school board president in Madison, also Don Severson, watchdog of the school district. We're going to continue this, if we can, fellas, after the news break. So take a break if you can. We got a full bank of phone calls here. This is great stuff, you know. We're making a difference, as always, on Outside the Box. Don't go away. News is next.
Bank News Center. This is continuing team coverage on News Talk 1310 WIBA.
At 10 o'clock, it's 47 in Madison. Good morning. I'm John Colbert, WIBA News.
Even though a body has not been found, Dane County Judge Angela Bartell has ruled there is enough evidence to try former Madison resident Eugene Zapata for the murder of his wife Jeanette in 1976. At Zapata's preliminary hearing, Bartell said Eugene was obsessive about tracking his wife's every move once she decided to divorce him.
In light of the deviant sexual interest that Mr. Zapata demonstrated in the final stages of his marriage and his dogged observations of the most intimate details of his estranged wife's comings and goings and sex life.
Court records say the final straw in the couple's marriage apparently was when Jeanette Zapata discovered her husband had put lurid photos of her in a swingers magazine. It's alleged she was killed October 11th, 1976, and that Eugene Zapata stored her remains until Madison police began re-examining the case last year. Charges are expected to be filed today against a Milwaukee man accused of robbing and fatally shooting a Lodi native who was going to college at UW-Milwaukee. Michael Green was arrested Sunday in the death of Joseph Munns. Police believe that Green shot Munns when he fought back the robbery attempt. The rape victim in Madison, known as Patty, gets a formal apology from the city's police chief. Patty was raped at knife point in 1997, but forced to recant her story under interrogation by police who did not initially believe her story. Chief Noble Ray says the apology should have taken place a long time ago.
The fact that it did not is not indicative of the department's current commitment to our accountability and responsiveness to community needs and building trust.
City council members greeted the announcement last night with a standing ovation. The council members did not act on a resolution that would require the city to apologize and pay restitution. That matter is sent back to committee for more study. City Council approved a measure last night aimed at helping tenants make needed repairs.
The tenant self-help ordinance allows renters to pay for necessary repairs and deduct the cost from their rent. However, the measure does not give tenants free rein to fix whatever and whenever they want.
Because there is a process to go through.
Rose Letourneau sits on the housing committee and is a Madison landlord.
They need to call building inspection and have building inspection come out and give them a notice and then follow the procedure that way. Then they can deduct the cost of repair from their rent.
The measure is aimed at landlords who either refuse or are unable to make necessary repairs to dwellings. Letourneau says if landlords do not make repairs in the time allotted by building inspection, tenants will then receive a letter stating they are eligible for rent abatement. The ordinance goes into effect in about 4 months. Jack Bailey, News Talk 1310, WIVA.
U.S. Secretary of State Condoleezza Rice arrives in Tokyo for talks about North Korea. More on that coming up. 1310, WIVA News Time is 10:03.
Dreaming of a log or timber home? Don't miss the Madison Log and Timber Home Show at the Alliant Energy Center coming October 20th, 21st, and 22nd. See spectacular displays from the nation's top builders and suppliers. Attend free daily workshops given by industry leaders, all at the Madison Log and Timber Home Show at the Alliant Energy Center, October 20th, 21st, and 22nd. Tickets are $15 and are valid for all 3 days. For more information, visit thelogandtimberhomeshow.com or see our ad in the Wisconsin State Journal.
Join the Wisconsin men's hockey team when it plays host to Minnesota Duluth Friday and Saturday, October 20th and 21st. Face off at 7 o'clock both nights. Fans will receive team posters courtesy of the Prime Quarter Steakhouse. Then on Tuesday, October 24th, get a look at the Wisconsin men's basketball team at Family Fun Night, presented by Physicians Plus Insurance Corporation. Fans will enjoy a team scrimmage at 6:30, followed by an autograph session. Admission is free. For more information, call 1-800-GO-BADGERS or visit uwbadgers.com.
Saturday, the Badgers are in West Lafayette to take on the Purdue Boilermakers. Badger game day begins at 7:30 a.m. on News Talk 1310 WIBA. This is continuing team coverage.
1310 WIBA news time is 10:04. The U.S. is working to make sure Asian countries comply with U.N. sanctions against North Korea. That from Secretary of State Condoleezza Rice, who arrived in Tokyo this morning.
We want very much this to be done in a way that is steady, effective, and brings close scrutiny to North Korean transfers, but this is not an embargo.
Rice also says the U.S. has no desire to escalate the crisis and reaffirmed a U.S. defense pledge. If it continues at this pace, the death toll of American troops in October in Iraq could become the worst month for coalition forces since January of 2005. 107 troops died then. 9 more deaths Tuesday bring the October toll to 67. 5 Iraqis also killed by a roadside bomb today. U.S. foreign relations have Americans worried. A new study by Public Agenda is out. That's a nonpartisan public policy institute. It finds nearly 80% worried that the U.S. foreign policy is making the world increasingly dangerous for Americans. The forecast from 27 Weather Central, rain today, falling temperatures during the day. Right now, 47. Listen online anytime at WIBA.com. From the Amcor Bank News Center, I'm John Colbert.
Your number one source for news and information is News Talk 1310 WIBA. The views expressed on the following program are not necessarily the views of WIBA, its management, sponsors, or staff. Previously on Outside the Box.
So, what happens is we've got the marriage amendment on the ballot coming up. So the churches naturally want to weigh in. They believe strongly in this. So they start passing out pamphlets. They make literature. They give them to their parishioners, who then take it outside the church and pass them out to neighbors or go door to door. And it costs more than $25 to do that. So, under the law, they're supposed to register. Well, of course, they don't. And then we have people all over the state. You're doing this and that. You're making DVDs. You got videos you're making. You're trying to influence the outcome of an election, just as you would be if you're on the other side of the issue or if you're some other group. But all of a sudden now, Mike McCabe of the Wisconsin Democracy Campaign says, well, gee, you know, we're getting reports that this is going on. Mike McCabe, who's Catholic, his job is to try to enforce these laws. And then everybody goes nuts. How come you're picking on the church? You're trying to silence the church. You're trying to silence them. You want to take away their free speech rights. That's what you're trying to do. No.
Welcome to Outside the Box with Mitch Henk. To be a part of the program, call 321-1310 or toll-free at 1-877-235-1310 or email Mitch at MitchHenk.com. Now, here's your host, Mitch Henk, on News Talk 1310 WIBA.
All right, folks, welcome back as we swim through the sharks and we run into the machine guns close to the election. We've got Johnny Winston Jr. on the line, school board president Madison, Don Severson in studio, watchdog extraordinaire. But before we get back into the debate, don't forget, we've all heard of eBay. Well, now you have the chance to get great deals, save money, and fund cancer research at the same time. Go to clicktocurecancer.com. There are hundreds of items to bid on, a flat-screen TV, trips, and ATV. Some are one of a kind. Clicktocurecancer.com. It's online auction. Start October 13th through the 23rd of October, with proceeds staying right here in Madison for the UW Paul P. Carbone Comprehensive Cancer Center. UW Cancer Center, I covered it when I was in the news, interviewed Dr. Carbone. They did incredible stuff 8 years ago. They're doing it now with breakthroughs in cancer treatment and all kinds of information about cancer in various forms, and they do great work. So click to curecancer.com, make a bid, and help cure cancer. You can win, among other things, your own customized home gym from Monkey Bar Gym. The winning bidder will receive a Monkey Bar home gym and workouts to include the following: portable Monkey Bar Gym, includes jump rope, TNT cable with door attachment, jungle gym, and instructional DVD, 1 hour session with trainer, all that kind of stuff. That's just one thing you can get. How about a Pilates studio? The winning bidder will receive a package of 5 sessions. We'll go to work one-on-one with Madison's only instructor certified by Romana's Pilates. Pilates Studio West is the only studio in the Madison area offering instruction in Romana's Pilates. The true form of Pilates is developed by Joseph H. Pilates. And more on that. It's a widespread technique, and actually they offer that at Harbor Athletic Club as well. We'll go to the phones. We got Don Severson and Johnny Winston Jr. We're talking about the school referendum questions. One would be to build a new school on the far west side. The other is to add space to Leopold Elementary in Fitchburg area. And then, of course, another one is to refinance some debt so they can spend more than they're allowed under the caps.
And it's all one question, yes or no?
It's all in one question. All of it's in one question?
One question.
That seems kind of weird, isn't it, Johnny?
No, I think this is a district-wide perspective. And I believe that having one question really encompasses our challenges relative to growth in this community.
Okay, let's go to Jody, who's been waiting. Hi, Jody. This is News Talk 1310 WIBA. Hello.
Good morning, gentlemen. I just have a question that I've asked so many times and just never seems to get an answer. But I live in the Leopold School District in the apartments adjacent from them. And I know for a fact that my neighbors are in the country illegally. The people next door to me, they have 7 children under 10, all attending Leopold, and 4 adults in a 2-bedroom apartment. And the people across the hall have 5 children under 10 living in a 2-bedroom apartment. And this is multiply that by about 600 apartments. And why shouldn't I, as a taxpayer, be a little concerned about building a new school when I know what it's being used for.
So bring in the INS, you think?
I don't know. I guess I would like an answer from somebody. Why? I mean, that if you're talking that Leopold is apparently, from one article I read, about 40% of those students are here illegally.
Well, how do we know that? I'm not disputing, but how do we know that number?
Well, I know for a fact that Ridgewood, I mean, it closed down the day they thought that all the people, my neighbors, kept their kids home the day there was a supposed raid over at Leopold. That was just a rumor, but the kids were all home. That's a fact. And I know they're here illegally.
All right, well, let's go to Johnny. Johnny, go ahead on
Absolutely.
That.
Absolutely. There was a U.S. Supreme Court case, Plyler versus Doe, that was decided in 1982 that basically states that every student who comes to any public school district will have the right to an education. And that's all I can say, and is it relates to they need to have an education, and so we're going to provide that for them because that's the federal law.
Okay, so Jody has a complaint. She needs to talk to the INS or the FBI or the DA or whoever, but not you guys.
I understand that, you know, anybody who would have a question about that, and you know, and again, I think it's about being in compliant with the law, and that's what we're going
to
do.
You just have to serve whoever shows up. Go ahead, Don.
Well, yes, I was going to comment that it's a question that the school district can't solve at this point. It's a bigger issue than that, and probably the AG's office is where it needs to go. But commenting on Ridgewood, that is an issue and an area that the school board can deal with in terms of understanding better what the impact is for enrollment in that development.
And
my understanding is that it's over half empty.
Yeah.
And that it's being redeveloped, and that's certainly going to have an impact on the demographics of those who are able to afford to stay there when the development is redone into mixed use and condos and so forth, and that hasn't been taken into consideration range.
I would definitely disagree with that last statement. It has been taken into consideration. As school board members, we have gone to the Fitchburg City Council and talked to them. We have talked to the staff people as school board members. The staff of the MMSD talked to the planning division of the Fitchburg community all the time. So we have a very good handle on what's going on there. We know that there's some serious build-out that is going to be taking place in that Leopold community in the Swan Creek area and some other communities as well.
You just shifted gears, Johnny.
No, I'm not shifting gears. I'm telling you, this is what we're doing in terms of a long-range perspective of Leopold Elementary School.
You're mixing apples and oranges. I'm talking about the Ridgewood development.
But the Swan next to it.
And I'm talking about overcrowding, and you're taking us on to a different aspect. I'm trying to deal as a member of the school board, the overcrowding.
And I'm supposed to try to get it so people can understand. So, Johnny, I see your point that no matter what the situation is at Ridgewood per se, you've got other people coming in from other areas in that school district, right, or in that school neighborhood.
Yes,
Swan Lake. In other words, if they're all coming to the school, Don, whether they're at Ridgewood or they're somewhere else in that neighborhood, doesn't that end up being the same thing?
No.
Why?
It doesn't.
Why are they going to that school or not?
Well, they are going to that school, but you have to look at what's happening across the street and what the impact is going to be on that, and it appears that it would be a wash.
In terms of Ridgewood or in terms of the whole
in terms of the whole thing?
Neighborhood? So is your view, Don, that we don't need the expansion at all at Leopold?
Well, it's interesting that a year and a half ago, May 2005, the voters rather substantially defeated a referendum to build a new school. And then Johnny talks about getting permission of taxpayers to build, and the substantial portion of this referendum deals with getting permission of the taxpayers to build something that's already built. In other words, refinance building additions to three schools previously. That decision was made by the school board without going to the taxpayers. They started construction in June of this year for the addition to Leopold without the permission of the taxpayers. Now they come back find that they want to afford to do this differently, and now we're asking taxpayers' permission to fund those projects that have already been done.
Go ahead, Johnny.
Well, the projects aren't done.
Well, three of them are.
But right now, in terms of, again, I'm trying to deal in terms of, as a school board member, trying to work with the overcrowding issues that are happening throughout our district. Things were different when the revenue caps were not as restrictive. We were not in the same fiscal situation as we are right now, being from 1993 to 2006. Right now, I agree that every penny is very important. Mm. At the same time, again, the issue that we are facing in the Leopold area is an issue of overcrowding, and that needs to be taken care of.
Well, Johnny, what about that charge that the school board went ahead and started expansion operations and building without taxpayers' permission?
It wasn't about not getting taxpayers' permission because, you know, we could, in essence, build things, but we would have to be taking that money from our operating budget, which hurts the operating cost of the district. So
that's a choice you made.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. And it's a choice, and it's a choice that I would make again, because Leopold is at 107% overcrowding, and it will continue to be overcrowded, and we need a long-range solution to that issue.
All right, we're going to go to the break. We got two more callers waiting to come on. We got to wrap this up. Thank you. Very important issues. Don't go away. This is Outside the Box.
How do you do in the market today? Get the latest business news with CBS Market Watch. Exclusively on News Talk 1310 WIBA.
For the latest in wireless cellular phones, accessories, monthly service plans, and friendly customer service, visit Wireless Works, an authorized agent of U.S. Cellular. Stop by and see all the new phones from LG, Nokia, Kyocera, Samsung, BlackBerry, Motorola, and more. Ask about their all-new lineup of monthly rate plans. For your convenience, you can now pay your U.S. cellular phone bill at their location, 2844 University Avenue, just west of the UW Hospital and University Square Shopping Center. For award-winning customer service, visit U.S. Cellular at 2844 University Avenue, 6803 O'Dana Road, and on Main Street in Cross Plains.
As a working mom, the last thing I need is to get tied up with doctor bills and healthcare red tape. That's why I'm so grateful for Brett Davis and the work he's doing for us. Brett passed new laws that make it easier to get accurate cost and quality information from insurance companies and healthcare providers. Brett worked to ban gifts and trips from big drug companies. That's important because when doctors prescribe a medicine for me or my kids, I want to know it's because it works, not because they got a trip from some big pharmaceutical firm. And Brett has innovative ideas to bring down healthcare costs and provide health insurance.
Hundreds. So Don Severson is here along with Johnny Winston Jr. Just for the record, Don, you don't disagree that Leopold is overcrowded, the elementary school in Fitchburg. It sounds like you disagree on what to do about it.
That's right.
So would you consider busing kids out of that area, out of that neighborhood school, to schools other parts of town?
That's being done already. It could be done more, I think.
Uh-huh. And I remember years ago, such a passionate issue. Everybody wanted to, you know, they send their child to a neighborhood school. And does busing become more acceptable if it means we don't have to spend any more money? Or is it just a matter of principle, right or wrong?
Well, I would agree with Mr. Winston that, you know, it's a very complicated kind of an issue. And there's a lot of policies, programs, services, and other kinds of issues that get involved with this whole decision-making process. So it's not quite as simple as...
But you'd look at that as an option along with increasing class sizes or whatever else you would do to deal with the...
Under certain circumstances.
Johnny, is that what we're coming down to here? I mean, whether we should bus kids away and send them somewhere else when there's more space?
You know,
or just build more space so they can stay in the neighborhood?
Well, you know, busing costs a good chunk of money as well. It's about $50,000 per bus, and I mean, I think those are things that you have to consider as well. But as going to this referendum is a long-term perspective. We had a West Memorial Task Force as well as an East Area Task Force that looked at this whole perspective of the district. I mean, so these were parents, these were members of the PTO, these were community members, and many people in communities were invited to attend these meetings, and they looked at every perspective possible, including the short-term issues of just rechanging boundaries, busing kids to other areas. Mm-hmm. And they looked at this and decided overwhelmingly, as a matter of fact, unanimously, as was the school board decision, that a build concept needed to happen, building a new school on the far west side and taking Leopold and trying to make that into a better situation, building a new cafeteria and the interior and redesigning the interior of the building. Again, this is a perspective that came from those task forces. I appreciate those people who were involved because they did get a chance to take a step back other than the school board and really examine this issue to the fullest.
Right.
And this is what they came up with.
Let's go to Nancy, who's been waiting. We've got Johnny Winston Jr. and Don Severson. Good morning, Nancy.
Hi, Mitch. Glad to be on with you today.
Oh, sure.
I think that the real long-range problem that Johnny alluded to before is the fact that this Board of Education is not doing any long-range thinking, and I seriously dispute the statements being made here. Having sat on that board before, I can say today that the enrollment is not a whole lot different than it was in 1995. It's virtually unchanged. And there were about 13,000 more students in this district at its peak in far fewer buildings than we have today.
This is Nancy Mistel, right, Nancy?
Yeah.
What do you do about Leopold? I mean, it's overcrowded.
Here's the deal, Mitch. Every new student into the district does not result in an increase in the population. And the district has had to make adjustments year after year after year. And it isn't the solution isn't always new construction. And I would say that if the board makes a decision to build a new school in with a very, very tight budget, that is a completely irresponsible act.
What's the solution?
That next year they can just squeak the money out from us in a referendum for something they've already done.
What is the solution then in terms of Leopold?
First of all, when you talk about overcrowding, Mitch, what you have to do is talk about how is the building being used. There's different ways to use it, okay? If you buy a four-bedroom house and after the kids are all grown and gone and you turn one to a sewing room, a fitness room, etc., you don't now have a one-bedroom house. You have a four-bedroom house that you're using differently.
Is that what they want to do? They want
to
build a new cafeteria.
You need to look at your schools, all of them, Mitch, because this is a global issue that the board has responsibility for. And if we have schools that are under-enrolled, we should talk about how to use the buildings we have. Or, I'm not saying that doesn't mean that as growth goes to the west, we don't build, but at that same token, our budget will always be finite, always. I don't care whether it's state-funded, locally funded, whatever. And for the board not to have their judgment reflecting the ability to work with a certain set of dollars, and all they constantly are looking for is more, 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 they're not...
Okay, I understand what you're saying, Nancy, but I'm still trying to figure out what you're going to do with the building at Leopold.
I think the building at Leopold, as it is, if the board made the decision to fund it through the operating budget, then let's let them do it. They made that decision.
Right,
they obviously felt they could come up with the money somehow, or they would Johnny disagree
go ahead,
that
Johnny.
Making that decision?
Right. Ms. Mistel, I think, and again, I want to be, with all due respect, our fiscal challenges have increased since you've been on the board.
Since last year?
Since you've been on
the board. Hold on, go ahead, Johnny.
You made the decision
and I guess, and one of the things that I want to just point out in terms of, you know, we're looking at this in terms of a long-range perspective as the community as a whole. And again, I want to say that what Mr. Severson and what Ms. Mistel are saying is not solving the challenges of Leopold. We've got kids in classrooms that are not acceptable, don't have any windows or anything like that. And those are some short-term issues. And Ms. Mistel, we have done that. Now it comes to a point where we need to solve the challenge of overcrowding. And we know that coming into online in terms of the district, areas such as Swan Creek, Oak Meadow, those areas are starting to develop, and we need to be on top of that development.
Why does it sound
And the only way that we can do that is to go to the taxpayers and ask them.
Am I wrong to say that conservatives don't mind if we spend money to relieve overcrowding in the jail, but they don't like it if there's overcrowding in the schools, and liberals are the other way around? I mean, it's like they want to relieve overcrowding in the schools, but not the jail. I just it was some weird thought that came to my mind.
You have more options in schools than you do in jail, let me tell you.
Anyway, Johnny, thank you very much. All of you, the time just races away. Maybe we can talk again before the vote.
Appreciate that.
Thank you so much. Johnny Winston Jr., Don Severson, and Nancy Mistel calls in. That was just unexpected, former school board member. So it was two against one there for a minute, Don. You know, I mean, just Johnny would have to, like, adjust his defensive strategy. We'll come back.
Facts.
Thanks for coming in.
I've got the facts and data as well.
Okay. Thank you both. We will return. This is Outside the Box.